Welcome to Methods, a podcast from the ESRC National Centre for Research Methods. In today's episode, could a new competency framework make it easier for researchers to get their hands on administrative data? Our guest today is Richard Welpton from Cancer Research UK, who's part of a team trying to help government departments and researchers make more data more readily available for important research to benefit the public.
At Cancer Research UK, I work in our cancer intelligence team, and we're all about acquiring administrative data. Normally these are data from the health service, so they include detailed patient records which have been pseudonymised, so partially anonymised. And we use those data to look at the effects of pilots that we might be introducing into the health service to try and improve outcomes. But we might also be using data to find out, For example, whether there's any variation in treatment or access to cancer services around the UK. And of course, to be able to do that relies on fairly large samples of cancer patient data. We as an organisation aren't alone in trying to acquire administrative data for these kind of purposes. Many researchers around the UK will recognise that they're also trying to acquire data to look at the effects of interventions that the government might be putting in place, or looking for variations, inequalities, etc., etc. Ultimately, whether it's Cancer Research UK or another organisation, researchers working at an organisation, we're trying to use administrative data for the public good.
It's not always necessarily obvious getting your hands on the data that you might like to use. So I wonder if you could just talk us through some of the challenges that your charity and others and other organisations trying to access that data come across.
Sure. Fortunately, in the UK, we're in a much better position than we were when I first started working in this field 10 years ago. It's now much easier to access administrative and in particular sensitive administrative data for research purposes than it ever was before. But it's still not easy, to be honest. And although we've got really great services like the UK Data Service and the Administrative Data Service to help support researchers, often when government departments decide to make data available, they'll put a small team of staff in place who might not be experienced with managing researchers or speaking to researchers or actually understanding about data and what information researchers need about data to be able to access and put good application systems in. Processes to help researchers access data aren't often put in place, or they're quite sporadic, and you can be following an application process and you're not really sure where it's going and you're not really sure what the steps are, and often those steps can be quite ad hoc. And that's just because I think those government agencies making those data available just don't really have that kind of experience of what's really needed. That can make the whole process very complex and time consuming, and for the researcher quite frustrating as well. I think in addition to that, it's also quite frustrating for the staff actually employed in those agencies trying to give access, because they're obviously trying to do their best to support researchers. They often don't have the resources to be able to do that.
Yeah, and how do those challenges affect the work that your charity is able to do and other charities are able to do? Presumably, sure. It makes it much harder.
I think one of the key things is the length of time it takes to apply for data. Most services would try to provide access to data within 3 months, but quite often for Cancer Research UK it can be roughly 8 to 12 months. And I've heard researchers tell me it's taken much longer as well. It's not so much always the length of time that's a problem, because if you know how long something's going to take and you appreciate that a service is under-resourced, then you can factor that into your research planning. But often, because the processes aren't very well defined and they're a little bit ad hoc, it's that uncertainty which can cause problems as well. I think that's one of the key things.
So what do you think are the main barriers to access then? Where does this reluctance, particularly within government departments, to make this potentially extremely useful data available come from?
I think the main issue is that the agencies which set up teams to provide access to their data don't actually put the resources into the staff to be able to support for researchers, and I think that's one of the key things that we've seen over recent years. And a number of government departments have now set up new data access teams to actually help researchers access data, but they don't necessarily have knowledge of what it needs to actually support researchers who are applying for access to data or with their data needs. So the skills just aren't there. And I don't think that's any fault of those government departments or agencies. There has never really been a sort of career path for anybody working in this sort of field.
Indeed. I mean, you're part of a group now that's really trying to, and very keen indeed, to do something about this problem. One of the things you've done is to develop something that you're calling a competency framework, which is all around this issue of skills, right? So I wonder if you could just explain a bit about what that framework is.
Sure, yes, of course. So the Working Group for Secure Data Access Professionals was established in 2011. It's made up of a number of services which actually provide access to sensitive data to researchers, and the group membership includes people from the Office of National Statistics, HMRC Data Lab, UK Data Service and the Administrative Data Service, as well as myself at Cancer Research UK, the Hell Foundation, and we've got a few new members joined recently from universities of Manchester and Edinburgh and the Scottish Government as well. And the group meet regularly to discuss issues about providing secure access to data and how to manage researchers. We also wanted to share and develop best practice, and one of the things that was quite evident was this lack of skills, knowledge, but also that career progression for our jobs. There's often, we kind of fall into these jobs by accident sometimes because we think they're quite interesting, and it's always very interesting to support researchers. But what we decided to do was actually try and establish what we call a competency framework, and it's basically a document which sets out for any member of staff what are the kind of skills we think are really useful to have in somebody who's actually supporting researchers with data access and data support, and whether they're a new member of staff or they've been working for a couple of years or maybe they're even more experienced, what are the kind of career opportunities available to them and how can they develop their skills? And so we've set this out in a document which we already use. And I've recruited a new member of staff recently. Having that competency framework in place has actually helped me design the job specification for them, and it will support me training that person as well. So it's a very practical document that can easily be used by others setting up this kind of research data access service.
Your example there is really good, because my next question was going to be around, you know, what sorts of things are in the framework that you think could help, but clearly there are things that are already helping.
If you think about services like probably the UK Data Service is an exemplar, where actually staff working at the UK Data Archive, most of them actually have all of these skills, but It's quite a niche set of skills to have. There aren't many of them. And actually, when I was trying to advertise for someone to help me, I think even though we're based here in central London, I think I had maybe 10 applications, only two of which were particularly viable. So, and that's and we're not far off from Old Street, where Tech City is. So it really kind of gives you a sense of how rare some of these skills are. So we're really keen that the competency framework can be used by people to develop their staff and provide a good service back to researchers. And I think the other side of this is actually it's much more efficient for those government agencies to have staff working at this level and experience. When you think about UK Data Service, they support a huge number of researchers with relatively small number of staff, and that's because the staff that they do have all of these skills, and they can manage researchers really well and really efficiently like that. Other services, they tend to have maybe more staff but supporting fewer researchers, and the service isn't so good. So you've got to kind of ask yourself what's missing, and I think it's a skills base that they've got.
So you can see this playing out really well, presumably, in a government department type setting.
Definitely.
I mean, you say it's sort of working here in your setting within a charity.
Yes.
But is there anything specific, do you think, about a government department where this could play out really helpfully?
Definitely. Well,
what's the message, if you like, I guess, for government departments?
Sure. All government departments are in principle keen to provide secure access to their data. They recognise the public benefit from allowing researchers to access their data. It's just that they might not necessarily be sure about how to do that. And while there are competency frameworks within those government departments, for example, their statisticians or their economists or their social researchers, they don't really have the same kind of skills framework for staff managing access to data. So whether it's how to produce a clean data set for a researcher to use, or how to document those data sets, or how to ensure that statistical results can be safely released without any risk of confidentiality of the data, as well as the legal framework and the technical environments, those are all really useful skills to have.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And so a service that employs staff that covers all of those skills is going to provide really effective service to researchers. And they'll be able to do so a lot more efficiently than... It's not just a case of putting staff into a team and hoping it will work.
That's a point really well made. So I wonder then, for you and a charity like Cancer Research UK, what does success look like? I mean, it's been quite a long time in the making, this document, but when would you hope to see some sort of success? And as
sure.
I say, what does it look like?
Well, I mean, I think one of the reasons we produced this also that staff could go to their line managers and say, you know, it's performance review time, I'm thinking about what I'd like to do for next year, here are some skills that I haven't been doing so far but I'd like to. So it's really useful for that. Within our working group, staff are already starting to use a framework in that capacity.
So success already up to a point.
What I'd really like to see, and I think somebody mentioned to me that access services being established in government departments over the next 2 or 3 years, because the government's really on board with providing access to administrative data. I'd really like to see that competency framework adopted by each of them and have their staff actually, you know, learning the ropes following that. But I also think it's really important that staff feel happy, because I think if staff feel that their careers are progressing, and I think in the past we've all kind of fallen into these jobs by accident, but actually I think it's a really good career, it's a really interesting career, and it's not without its challenges, but that's what makes it interesting. It'd be great for people to think of working in these services as not just something they've been put into, but something they'd actually like to aspire to work in. So I would like to see the competency framework we've developed actually adopted by all of those services and have their staff actually developing along the lines of the framework.
You're going to be presenting at the forthcoming ESRC Research Methods Festival. Obviously a lot to talk about,
sure.
But I just wonder what researchers can expect from your session.
Essentially what I'd be saying is that if you're applying to a service to access data, really these are the kind of services you should be receiving in an ideal world, but we know that there are financial constraints and we have to be realistic about that. Also, I think it's an opportunity for researchers to tell me, actually, although you've covered these skills and we would like staff have those skills, there's some other things from a researcher's point of view that we would like to see as well. So it's definitely an opportunity for researchers to tell me how we can further develop this framework, because essentially we've set it up to serve researchers.
Richard Whelpton was talking to Chris Garrington. You can get hold of a copy of the competency framework at www.etc. You can also check out details of Richard's session at the Methods Festival in Bath in July on the NCRM website at www.ncrm.ac.uk.